swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Plate Tessie. It is episode 129. If you're listening on drop day, it's September 13th. This is the official podcast of Long Island, New York, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, all of that jazz benefits everybody. So just do it. As always, find us on YouTube, on the WEEI channel, on the Plate Tessie playlist there. We've got all of our shows up there. You can watch our beautiful faces, especially Pat's. Sometimes he flexes, sometimes he doesn't. As always, you can find us on the socials at Plate Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and here with Pat. And guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that it's certainly a big part of the story of this Red Sox season, but it's going to be a big part of future Red Sox seasons. We talk a lot about, you know, the changing pitching infrastructure. The Red Sox hired a lot of new people, Andrew Bailey, Justin Willard, Kyle Bodie, before the season to change the culture around pitching. And, you know, obviously that's a long-term project. That's not something that's going to go down in a year. And obviously they've made strides forward with certain guys, like Tanner Houck is significantly better this year than he's ever been in his career. And a lot of guys have taken steps forward in a lot of regards. But one thing that it's unavoidable when talking about the season is how good the bullpen was in the first half. How many games the Red Sox, you know, entered the seventh inning with a one or a two run lead and they just shut the door. And, you know, that Slayton, Martin, Jansen trio. And honestly, the middle relief guys like Zach Kelly and Brennan Bernardino at the time had ERAs in the ones, and, you know, they would just shut down games versus the second half of the season. And obviously it starts out in the Dodgers series without Martin and Clayton. And then in call, you don't have either of those guys and you don't have Jansen either. And so basically you're running, even though you're going against the Rockies team, who I don't think too many people were afraid of, you had maybe Zach Kelly as your closer and really not many good options in the middle relief. I think the bullpen, especially with Jansen, Martin, Sims, and Luis Garcia, four veterans in this bullpen, as impending free agents, I think it's worth talking about, you know, how can they improve this bullpen to get through a 162 game season next year? Like what do you need to look for to get to that point where you're in August and September and you feel good about your bullpen?
I think right now they have too many guys that you could just look at and say, oh yeah, he's a reliever, he's going to go up and down. You need more guys like Chris Martin. You know, maybe they're not the top guys, top closers in the league, but they're veterans and they're steady. I'm big on having veterans in the bullpen. I think if you have veterans on the team, the bullpen is a great spot for them. So too many fringe guys, I guess, is a good way to put it. And it's all good to have bring in a guy because he's got good stuff. You mentioned Zach Kelly, friend of the program, nasty stuff. I'm all good bringing in guys like that. But you can't have a full bullpen of guys that you're not 100% sure of what they're going to give you. And that's not a knock on those guys. Every bullpen's going to have a handful of them. But I feel like the Red Sox this year in particular have relied a bit too much on, you know, hoping these guys hit their upside rather than paying for a known commodity, something we talk about with our friend Bradfoe all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's kind of two schools of thought that I don't want to say collide because they kind of need to work together in the bullpen. You need to have a group of three or ideally four guys in the back of that bullpen that you feel totally comfortable with. And the reason I say four is because you want to be in a spot where if one goes down, you still have multiple setup guys and a closer that you feel like you can go to. But at the same time as that, you need young guys that have options that you send up and down. And that's one thing I think the Red Sox have actually done pretty well this year is had guys that, you know, they can bring up and down, namely like a Cam Boozer. Greg Weissert has gone up and down. Like there's a bunch of guys. Zach Kelly and Bernardino both have spent time in the minors this year. And That can be valuable with getting guys rest. It can be valuable with giving as many guys opportunities to break out as possible. But in the end, Sammy, you're right. Like that's all well and good. And that will get you far because you need to keep arms fresh and, you know, hopefully have a couple of additional breakouts, but you need guys that you are sure about at the back end of the pen. The teams that go into seasons with uncertainty in the eighth and ninth, those are the teams either that, you know, fall into what the Red Sox fell into this year. And I'm not saying they had uncertainty back there, but like the period where they did have uncertainty back there is what started the collapse of this team right after the All-Star break. And then if you do make it to the playoffs, you look no further than the Phillies last year, who had to keep turning to Craig Kimbrel in the postseason, even though he clearly wasn't that guy, but they didn't really have much else to turn to, and it killed their season. So it's important.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is a lot of it kind of comes back down to Andrew Bailey's philosophy, right? A lot of breaking stuff, and you're challenging hitters. You're attacking the zone. Towards the end of the season, guys naturally get fatigued. If you're challenging guys without your best stuff, you're going to get knocked around. And I think, yeah, having guys who can go up and down, keep guys fresh, that is the most important thing. But in terms of outside help, you need a guy or two guys really who have a track record of just logging innings consistently with a good ERA. I have a list up right now of the top 25 relievers in baseball, innings pitched wise.
Can we hear this?
The Sox don't have any of those people, but you have guys on contending teams who are throwing a ton of innings with good results.
Brian, Pat, read the list. Read the list off here. I'm curious.
Yeah. So number one, Ryan Yarbrough. I'm kind of going past the guys who are kind of piggybacks or multi-inning guys.
Yeah, skip over those guys.
Yeah, give us like 10 of them.
Just list off a few names and Brian skip over Abreu. The guys.
Brian Abreu, 3.3 ERA. Kamar Acre, 3.4 ERA. I mean, Emmanuel Clase is a freak, but Emmanuel Clase. Dylan Floro.
There you go. Floro's the kind of guy I would like to have. A guy who, you know, he's closed before. He's not a closer anymore per se, but he's been around. He can do multiple things. He can log innings. That's the kind of guy you need more of. Not him, yes. Maybe not him specifically, but guys kind of like that, similar to Chris Martin.
Gavin Jax with the Twins. Guy's thrown 66 games. He's a 1.95 ERA.
Navy guy, right? Like Air Force, Kevin, maybe? One of them?
I think it was Air Force. But like Kevin Gankel, Taylor Rogers. Like these are guys who are not high value in terms of AAV. Taylor Rogers obviously is, but he's kind of on the tail end of that Giants contract. But there are guys out there that you can get for relatively decent money who can supply you with those innings that have that durability. The guys that you can throw in late August, September, and into October and not have qualms about, I hope he's feeling fresh. Like those are guys, those are almost like the aces of the bullpen. Those are your workhorses in the bullpen. You throw them out, you know what you're getting every single outing.
Yeah, the Sox have so many guys this year. Like, you think about Jansen and Martin, and it's like we need to make sure that we monitor their innings because they're getting older. You look at a guy like Justin Slayton, and it's we need to monitor his innings, A, because he hasn't pitched a full season in the big leagues before, and then more recently it's he's coming off injury. Then you got guys like Zach Kelly and Bernardino, who I think they tried to lean on a lot more in to kind of be guys like kind of the guys that Pat just mentioned, and those guys pitched a ton early on in the first half, and then you saw kind of the ramifications of that in the second half. They don't really have that kind of guy. They also don't really have a big lefty that you can. And this was a Bradfoe report in the middle of the season by the trade deadline that the Red Sox were in the market for a swing and miss left-handed reliever. I believe they're going to be in the market for that again in the offseason because they didn't get one of those at trade deadline. I know that they still would like one of those. Obviously, Cam Boozer has been a very pleasant surprise for the Red Sox, but he's a guy who kind of like Zach Kelly in a way where like the numbers are good, but when they've entered high pressure spots, the results haven't been there. And obviously Bernardino, it's kind of been a tale of two seasons where he was amazing for the first half and not as much for the second. And now he's on the injured list. So like, we'll see. I don't know how much of that has to do with the elbow thing that he's got, which is more bone related than ligament related, but who knows? But that's going to be something that they're going to be in the market for this offseason, I think, is a guy that you can bring.
Yeah, sorry, Gordo. And you can't just hope that you get another Boozer. That's not the norm to have a guy like
better.
That. You get off the scrap
better.
Heap. Yeah, you need better, one, and you can't rely on guys like that. Like, yeah, once in a while in the back end of your bullpen, you're going to find someone like that who just clicks. And sometimes these guys, when you're paying for, when you quote unquote pay for a proven commodity, sometimes they don't hit. But these are the risks that a team like the Red Sox, a big market team that has forgotten they're a big market team, you have the luxury to pay a little bit extra for a guy like Tanner Scott in the offseason, who, Pat, I saw you mention him earlier today. You have the luxury to overpay for a guy like that. Look at the Astros. The Astros aren't a big market team. They had a very good closer in Ryan Pressly, and they said, let's get Josh Hader. Let's make it so that you got to beat us in the first 7 innings to win the game. We've already got a stacked roster everywhere else. Why not beef up the bullpen? The Red Sox should be a team that can do something like that, and I hope they do in the offseason because, I mean, you're seeing it this year. I don't have to explain it to you guys. The guys have run out of gas, and it's not as bad as 2023. But it's a pretty similar situation overall.
Yeah, and God, I talked about at the very beginning of the episode about the whole pitching infrastructure changing, and it is changing. It's in the middle of an overhaul, which, to be honest with you, it's almost like a 5-year rebuild in its own right, because you got new philosophies, you're going to get new draft picks, they're drafting differently, they're developing differently than they have. It's not something that's going to come into play next year. Like, guys they drafted are not going to get called up next year. Like, it's a big overhaul. So if you want it to be fixed for next year, you kind of have to make a plunge, either financially, get uncomfortable for a free agent. And we've seen how that goes. You better be damn sure that the guy you get is that dude if you're going to be investing 3+ years into a reliever, or you could trade legitimate prospect capital for a reliever with team control. We've seen that, you know, teams trade guys in that 10 to 15 organizational prospect ranking range for a good reliever with 4 to 5 years of control. I don't know which route they're going to go. The Scott option is interesting, though he's definitely going to command more than 2 years, which to me personally makes me uncomfortable because we've seen so many relievers flame out super fast, especially after they hit free agency. But they're going to have to take a risk at some point if they want that swing and miss lefty. It's not going to grow on a tree. They don't have a guy coming up in the system that like screams dominant lefty coming out of the bullpen next year. Obviously, you know, they found a guy in Justin Slayton this year, but how likely is it that you're going to be able to do that again in the Rule 5? I don't think that's happening. So yeah, it's going to take getting uncomfortable in some area, whether it be financially or prospect wise. But you think about how valuable having kind of an ace left-handed reliever is. You know, before 5-6 years ago, you were able to just put a lefty in for that lefty that's up, get that lefty, and then you pull them to put a righty in for the righties coming up. Now you need your left-handers to be able to get righties out too, because even if the order goes left, right, left, there's that righty in that part of the order. And if you're dealing with the middle of the order, it's probably a damn good lefty or damn good righty that's coming up. So it's more important now than ever.
I got a guy.
Who you got, Sam?
AJ Minter, free agent, solid amount of strikeouts, another good season. He's going to be 31. So he's in that age range where he's not old yet, but he's not young. I don't know if there's any stipulation in his contract where he could maybe be retained by the Braves, but I'm looking at the free agent list and he's on there. So someone like that, AJ Minter, I like a lot. There's other options, but they're not as exciting. Perez from the Orioles. Actually, there's a good option. CNL Perez, if he doesn't take that club option, which they'll probably give him, workhorse, pitched 55 games so far this year, something very high like that. That's what you need.
He's killed the Sox in the past.
Yeah, you need a lefty like that who can log innings and strikes guys out, and you're going to have to pay for it. And people don't like paying for relievers, and I understand that, but if you want to address this glaring issue, which has hurt you over and over and over again this year, you got to pay up. And that's why, like, it's so hard to have any conversation about a future Red Sox team without mentioning the money, because that is the biggest fucking wild card. If John Henry's willing to spend, go nuts. Go get AJ Minter. Go get AJ Minter and Perez if he's available. Go get Minter and friggin' whoever, Jalen Beeks. Bring him back.
Drew Smiley.
Yeah, no, don't bring Jalen Beeks back. But you get the point. A lot of this, the quality of the reliever you're going to get, because it's not as important as a starting pitcher, the quality of that guy is going to be largely dependent on how much money that Craig Breslow is going to be allowed to spend by the incredibly valuable Red Sox, who are penny pinching for the fourth year in a row. Yeah, that's great. Fourth.
I like Minter. Sammy, I think that's a good one. I think AJ Minter is a good one.
He's top of the market, though. That's the thing. He's top of the market.
But top of the market in terms of AAV, I feel like. But I don't think AJ Minter at age 31, and I'm going to see if he's an old one. I'll find this out right now. He is on the 60-day right now, so I don't know what he's dealing with right now. But he just turned 32 late in the season this year. That's not a guy to me that's going to get 3 years. We got to figure out what has him on the 60 day.
But another guy,
if it's Sammy, nothing another guy, crazy.
Coincidentally on the same team in upcoming free agent, high strikeout guy, Aaron Bummer.
Ooh,
Bummer's a guy that's very intriguing. He has like a 3.3 this year. He's over 10K per nine. He had that one weird year where he just sucked in Chicago.
Ooh. But, so, yo, Minter has a torn labrum. So I know that's obviously awful. So he's going to be out for a while. If you want to be, you know, here I am advocating for them being cheap. You want to get a talented guy, maybe at a discount? There you go. But I'm also reading right now he wants to stay with the Braves. But we don't have to go over specific guys. Just
money talks.
Yeah, money talks. If you want to, I just can't. I don't want the... Maybe this guy fits. Maybe that guy. I understand it's the bullpen. You're going to have guys like that. But for the back end, high leverage guys, I'd like to know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yes. And
Fulmer. You have Fulmer coming back next year, which not a high strikeout guy, but that's a guy that, you know, when healthy, is a dependable guy. He's not your Bernardino's, your Kelly's, who go through these really hot, really cold streaks, kind of up and down in the minors. Fulmer's a legit major league bullpen arm. I'm not saying he's going to be your setup guy. He's surely not going to be your high strikeout guy. But that's a guy coming into the bullpen that is a Chris Martin type, where you're, okay, when you're healthy, you can pitch, and you're going to pitch good. Go.
And don't forget the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're getting those two guys back. You're getting those two guys back because Liam Hendricks, it seems like he's probably not going to pitch this season. And even if he did, he seems to think that his stuff would be like fine this year, but really tick back up next year. And I hope that's true because, I mean, his velocity last year when he came back was down a couple of ticks. So hopefully it can be a little bit closer to that 97 we used to see. But regardless of that,
question. Lefties. You still need a lefty, though. Yeah, none of those guys. They're all good. I want the Red Sox to have the same issue they're having with the outfield, where they have too many capable guys. They don't know what to do with them. That's what the bullpen should be like if you're this fucking super rich team.
More so than any other position in the organization, too, is you should have too many bullpen arms.
Absolutely.
But question for you guys, because I mentioned earlier in the show, those four guys that are impending free agents, Jansen, Martin, Sims, Garcia. How many of those guys do the Red Sox need to retain? Like, what should be their end goal with those four? Who should be back?
Just Martin.
Because I have an opinion of this. What'd you say, Sammy?
I just want Martin back. I think Kenley Jansen has his mind set. He wants to go back to the Dodgers because he's close to retiring. He wants to end on the team that drafted him, where he spent most of his career, and he lives in Los Angeles now. So I'm fine with that. Kenley, I think, is going to the Dodgers. Sims, I've been super unimpressed with. I wouldn't hate if they brought him back, but if it was up to me, I'm not doing it. Garcia, he's been so bad, man. I don't know. It just might not be a good fit, but he kind of same boat as Sims. If they brought him back, I wouldn't hate it, but I'm not rushing to bring that dude back. And then Chris Martin, I think you can get him relatively cheap. He's had his issues this year, you know, staying on the field for whatever reason. But he's so steady when he's out there. He's a guy I'd like to see come back in that kind of seventh, eighth inning role over 2025.
I'm in the same boat as Sammy. I think Chris Martin's got to be 39, I think. So he's getting towards the end of his career. I would be stunned if he was looking for a multi-year deal. So like Chris Martin on a one-year deal, perfect fit, whatever. And as far as Garcia, Sims go, that's the free agent market every year. Like, those are guys I'm not worried about retaining because there's tens of Garcias and Sims on the market. And you can let them walk, get perfect replacements. Maybe they're just as good. Maybe they're a little bit better. But those are guys I'm not really stressing about bringing back in as real, legit pieces because those are guys that you go and you get for your 2 years, $10 million contracts. You're very cheap relievers. I prefer to let them walk, bring in some new guys of that caliber. And then Kenley can do what Kenley wants. He's earned that right. If he wants to go back to LA, all means. No hard feelings. You deserve it. You were great here. Very underrated tenure here. But it'd be cool to have him back, but I'm not dying for it. Let him go to the Dodgers right off of the sunset. Do what you got to do. To me, it's just Martin.
I'm with you guys. Martin is the only one where I'm like, they got to try to find a way to bring him back. And he told Bradfo, you know, he's thought about retirement, but it seems like he's leaning towards returning for another year. And he said he would be interested in the Red Sox when Rob asked him if the Red Sox would be at the top of his list. He seemed to agree. So I think if you give him a competitive offer, it doesn't seem, as you said, Pat, that he's going to want multi-years. Seems like a perfect fit to just keep straddling on those one-year deals as long as the fit's there. With Jansen, if he wants to come back, of course, but I don't know if there's going to be a match. I don't know if they're going to pay him what he's going to want. And even if they did, I don't know if he's going to want to come back. I think, as you guys said, he's going to want to go to LA. If they could get back on a cheap one-year deal, I would do it. But outside of that, I don't know if the fit's there. I think he's going to want kind of the deal that you suggested, Pat, like that two-year, $10 million type deal. And I think the Red Sox need to prioritize having as many optionable arms in the Sims role, where it's kind of like middle-ish relief when everyone's healthy, as possible. They could have some bullpen problems if they don't find that left-handed relief ace, though, especially if Liam Hendricks is not the Liam Hendricks of old in the closer role, which could be a storyline early next year. Like, we're going to see about that one. There's really not much else we can say, and we're not going to see him this year most likely. So the bullpen will be a storyline come this offseason. We will definitely have plenty of conversations about that. But for the time, let's get into some Nuff Said. Anything Nuff Said for us?
Let me think. We don't have to divulge into the full contents, but the Shannon Sharp saga today on Twitter might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Damn it. This was my upset too. I was just going to say shout out to Shannon Sharp.
Gordo, are you aware of this?
So, okay. I did not watch any videos, but I heard he like Instagrammed a video of him having sex.
Yeah.
He live streamed it accidentally.
Live streamed it, audio only, yeah.
You know what was the greatest thing, though, afterwards? Obviously, like, two consenting adults, like, no foul play there, which is why it's funny, is the way he responded, which was, like, right before we started recording. He was on Ocho Cinco's show, and he was also, like, PR-wise, if I were him, I would just be like, I have to lean into it. I can't be, like, I can't be all dorky about this. Like, I fucked up, but, like, he was doing sex, like make it funny, like turn it into a joke. But he came on Ocho Cinco's show and he was like, I'm a healthy male and I was doing healthy, active things. Okay. Like, come on, man. It was just kind of a dorky way to handle it, I thought.
And then the best part, I don't know how much of that you saw, but Chad Ocho Cinco, if there's one person that I'm like, gonna have by my side as I'm confronting this giant like media storm, the last person on that list is probably Chad Ocho Cinco, because I don't think he's been serious a day in his life. He goes through this lengthy apology. He's like, I've never even used Instagram Live. I threw my phone down with Instagram open. I don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. This whole like putting it into context, it ends. And Chad Ocho Cinco just goes, man, we got to work on your cardio. I heard you breathing. And I'm like, oh, no, dude. Like, he's good. Giving him shit. No, I know. But it's just so funny.
I like
Chad Ocho Cinco, the guy who's known for eating McDonald's, like, every day for his entire life.
Yep.
Working on your cardio, Chad. My ass.
Good for Chad.
I'll go next. Shout up to Al Horford for timing his Dominican Republic trip with the trophy while I'm here. I'm going to go on a hunt for that trophy at some point while I'm here, but super cool that he brought the trophy to his home country. And obviously he timed it out knowing that I was here. So shout out to Al. We go way back. We're boys. So shout out to Al and his family. We have a dinner planned for when we both get back to Boston in a week or two.
That's beautiful. Why did he want to go to dinner with you?
Because we're boys.
What's your favorite thing about Al Horford that maybe we don't know? Something you can share.
God, he's just such a private guy. That there's just so much I know about him that I just don't know if I can share.
Do you ever have late at night? Are you ever like on the phone, laying on your stomach in bed with your ankles crossed, like talking to Al, like, hey Al, I'm so tired, but I'll stay up to talk to you.
No, you.
He told me so many good stories, so many untold stories about like the Celtics and so many things you guys like just don't even know about Jason Tatum. He told me it's just like, it's great things.
Gordo, you told me you initially bonded with him because you saw him, I think it was at the TD Garden, and you actually spoke to him in Spanish because you're fluent in Spanish. What did you say to him to get his attention in Spanish?
Oh, I said, muchas gracias, señor.
For what?
Baloncesto.
Thank you for ball.
Thank you for basketball. He was touched.
Thank you, sir.
He was what?
For ball. That's all it took?
Touched.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. Thank God you know Spanish.
So praise be Alfred. I think that's his name. Alfred.
He's so private. Who knows, dude?
No. Wait, isn't his first name, I might be very off. Isn't his first name not Al?
No, it is. I've got it up here.
Damn.
Alfred Joel Horford Reynoso.
That's what it is. His last name's not, it's Horford Reynoso. That's what I was thinking of.
Damn, so he couldn't like that, who's that guy on the Warriors who had the hyphenated last name is going to kill me?
On the Warriors? I know. I mean, there's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Finney Smith?
It's another.
Oh, yeah.
Toscano Anderson. Thank you, Joe Braverman. Juan Toscano Anderson. Yeah, he could have been a Juan Toscano Anderson type. He could have been Al Horford Reynoso.
I was speaking to Toscano Anderson. He's a great guy.
Sammy, what are they doing in Springfield?
Sammy, you got enough said for us, or is that a.
No. Yeah, Pat took my enough said. I was just going to say shout out Shannon Sharp, leave the context out and let people who are listening kind of be like, oh, sex.
Do you want to say it again?
Yeah. Hey, shout out Shannon Sharp. You just got to know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you won't know. Play Tessie.
So congrats to Shannon Sharp on the sex, and congrats to you guys for listening to Play Tessie episode 129. Before you tune out, before you go about your day, this includes you, Shannon. Remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, all that stuff. Get the notifications when episodes drop. You know the deal. We are also on YouTube on the WEI channel on the Play Tessie playlist there. So you can subscribe to WEI there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos, all that. As always, you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in to Play Tessie episode 129. Peace.